Good morning, Kansas City. Once again, this is Pastor Rodney Barlow from Lighthouse Church of Independence. We are so glad to be on the airways with you all again and thankful that God has allowed us to be here one more time. Again, we are located at 14411 East 33rd Street South in Independence, Missouri. 64055 is our zip code. And we are continuing on our topic, our building block of understanding the importance of water baptism in the method that the apostles did in the New Testament. When we study the Word of God and want to be aligned with the Word of God, we want to make sure that everything we do is done according to what Scripture has said and not to any form of tradition, unless that tradition dates back to the apostles and the first church and them being obedient to what they heard the Lord say. Now, how did we get here? We got here because for the past 3 or 4 months, we have broken down Scripture to help us understand there is only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And we went back, looked at the Old Testament, looked at what the Jewish people were taught from a child, that hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And we begin to break down and open up and evaluate Scripture line upon line, precept upon precept, from Old to New Testament, that the Lord our God is one. That this one God, who was a spirit, wanted to make sure that not only the Jewish people, but that every single one of us would have access to eternal life. But that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And it could not be any blood. It had to be blood from a pure sacrifice. Well, of course, humanity is born into sin. And there is no way we can bring any type of personal sacrifice that's pure before a holy God. So we understand that this God, who is a spirit, became flesh in the person, in the man, 100% Christ Jesus, who was born of a virgin, to have flesh, to have a body, who was born through the impregnation by the Holy Ghost, into Mary in order to be born Emmanuel, God with us, according to Matthew 1 and 21. And this man who was born, of course, preached the gospel, shed his blood, died on that cross, and resurrected on that third day. And because of what he did, he has given access to all who would do what? Repent of their sins. And then he said, you must also be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of those sins, which is Acts 2:38, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But from a theological point of view, it's really saying, how does that grace or the work of Christ, how is it now imputed or applicable to us as sinners? And the blood is applied to us, we see, through baptism, by being immersed or saturated in water, signifying that we are buried with him in baptism. So we came to this point where we understand that baptism is absolutely necessary in order to have our sins removed and for that the blood of Jesus Christ to be imputed upon us. And then once we have been regenerated by being baptized in water, we understand the Bible teaches us that we must be full of the Holy Ghost. We learn in John 3:3-5, that when Jesus came to Nicodemus, he gave clear instruction on what Nicodemus was supposed to do in regards to salvation. He told Nicodemus in John 3, let's read that, 3-5. Very important set of scripture here. Jesus replied, speaking to Nicodemus, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus replies, how can a man when he's old go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, unless a man is born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. So again, the importance is I must be born again. I must be baptized in water. And then in our next session, we are going to dive into, of course, being baptized of the Holy Ghost. Now, where I left off 2 weeks ago was in Matthew 28:19. Because sometimes people look at it and say, oh, well, there's a different mode of baptism in what Jesus said compared to what the apostles actually did. And I beg to differ. They did not baptize in a different formula than what the instructions of Jesus told them to do. They were obedient to it. They had an understanding. And that's why we went through the oneness of God's lesson. It's because in a Jewish mind, they understood who the Messiah was. They understood that Jesus Christ was Jehovah, has become our Savior. They understood Isaiah 9 and 6. And because they understood that, when it came down to them obeying Matthew 28:19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name, singular, of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Those are all titles that need to have a personal name attached to it. In closing, 2 weeks ago, I explained to you that if I was to write you a check and put titles on that, you would not be able to cash that check. It would have no authority. So when they baptized in the New Testament, they baptized in a name that had authority. Well, why is that important? Because the Bible teaches us that whatever we do in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's Colossians 3:17. So they obeyed the scripture and they baptized in his name. But looking at Matthew 28:19, I wanted to show you scripturally that they absolutely baptized in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit when they baptized in the mode, I now baptize you in the name of the Lord, which we already showed you in Scripture. Acts 2:38, Acts 8:16, Acts 10:48, Acts 19:5. All of these New Testament baptisms were all done the same way because the Lord said to the Apostle Paul, there's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. The Christian church should have one way to allow the imputation of the blood of Jesus Christ to be made effective upon us. All right. So looking at our first scripture in connection to, well, what is the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? Let's start with Isaiah 9:6. I have to keep reminding you of all the scripture, because it seemed like a lot of people just disregard this scripture. You cannot disregard it. Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. And the next phrase is the one I tell you time and time again, I can stop the lesson with that phrase. And it says, this son shall be the everlasting father. The Messiah they were looking for was this virgin child who would be born of Mary. They understood that. But let's look at another verse in the New Testament. John 5:43. Jesus is talking. Again, we're looking at baptized in the name of Father. Okay, that's the first part. Look at John 5:43. Jesus is talking. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. Jesus, plainly speaking here, is letting them know that I am come in my what? Father's name. That is not anything but in an absolute alignment with Isaiah 9 and 6. He is showing that I am the visible manifestation of the Old Testament invisible God. And again, I don't have time to go into all the lessons I've taught you before. Hopefully, the whole picture of what you've been learning comes together that you can see that Jesus Christ is the physical man or the visible manifestation of the invisible God. He is the fullness of God in flesh, in flesh. But he does say, I come in my Father's name. So when they said baptize in the name of the Father, what name did they have attached to them? What name did they know? They knew the name of Jesus. Look at John chapter 10 and verse 25. John 10 and verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. So two scriptures here that he is taking ownership of representing or having the Father's name. These are things the disciples witnessed and saw and observed. So when it came time of baptizing in the name of the Father, there was no contradiction when they baptized in the name of Jesus, when they physically performed the act of baptism through the scriptures we see all through the New Testament. Now, of course, we know the name of the Son is Jesus, but let's still look at scripture. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That name Jesus was given to Mary from an angel, which had to line up with the Old Testament scripture that said a virgin shall conceive a child or a son, because there was a time of begotten. There was a birth date. And when he's born, and 8 days later, give him his proper name at the right time. And what was his name? His name was Jesus. Look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. We'll read through verse 11. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So we understand, obviously, there's no argument here whatsoever, that the name of the Son is Jesus. We understand through John 5:43, John 10:25, Isaiah 9:6, that the name of the Father is connected to the name of the Son. He said, I come in my Father's name. We obviously know that Jesus Christ is the name of the Son. But what about the Holy Ghost? Where's the Holy Ghost coming in all this? All right, John chapter 14 and verse 18. John 14 and verse 18. If we go back to verse 15, let's look at that first. John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and he shall be in you. What was the Lord saying leading up to this verse? That there is going to be somebody that is going to be with you and abide with you, because the context is, I, Jesus speaking, am physically going away. But there's going to be a spirit of truth that is going to come. The world won't receive him because they don't see him and they don't know him. Ah, but you all know him. Why? Because he's standing right in front of you physically. But I'm not going to always be with you physically. So verse 18, he gives them comfort. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I, not he, he says, I will come to you. Okay? And he's talking about the comforter. I will come to you. Now stay in the same chapter and look at the 26th verse. It says, but the comforter, so it gives clarity here, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. So we see here that John understood, when he's looking back on this, that Jesus has revealed to us what the name of the Comforter is going to be. He is saying we are not three distinct people. It is the same one God that has now manifested himself in different ways. I am the same God. And we again have all these scriptures, the old and the new, that line up. And it all is still based on and is focused in on how we become saved. At the end of the day, that's what it's about. How do I have the blood of Jesus Christ, the plan that God had way back in the Old Testament, how does it apply to me? Well, he told John in the scripture dealing with Nicodemus, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. So when I'm baptized correctly in water, I understand that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost has a singular name. And we see here in scripture that that name is Jesus. That name is Jesus. And he said here in the scripture we just read in Philippians that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, because this is the greatest name that there is. And when you are baptized and you read any rabbinical writings or why they were baptized in biblical days, you would take on the name of the person that you are following. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there what? Salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We must be saved through that name, the only saving name of Jesus. And that's why, again, that's what they did when they were baptized in the New Testament by the apostles. Look at Colossians 1:27. Colossians 1:27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. That mystery is explained in the next phrase. The mystery of the Gentiles having this is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, how can Christ be in us? Well, we read it way back there in John 14:18 and 26. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not only going to dwell with you, I am going to dwell in you. And we know in Romans 8, if we don't have the Spirit of Christ, we are none of his. Romans 8:9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Well, what is the Spirit of Christ? It is the same Comforter who he said the Father would send in my name. So looking at that, to look at the disciples, hearing Jesus say, hey, baptize everyone in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then they go and do it, but they don't say, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They actually use the name. That's why we follow that. That's why it's important. It says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. Pastor Barlow, is that necessary? Is it important? Why again make the fuss? Why again make a distinction? God understands. Yes, at the end of the day, God would judge everything. God would judge however he wants to judge. But at the same time, as a believer, shouldn't I be compelled to be baptized in the mode the first church were baptized? Because obviously they understood what Jesus was meaning in Matthew 28:19. Because they only knew him as one in the first place. It is so important for you to understand and grasp that. You say, well, my church doesn't do it that way, or I don't believe it this way, or I don't even see it that way. Take all that off the table and simply ask yourself, let me just see what Scripture says. Scripture says in Acts 2:38 that they baptize in Jesus' name. Scripture says in Acts 8:16 they baptize in Jesus' name. Acts 10:48 they baptize in Jesus' name. Acts 19:5, which is a scripture I want to look at right now, they baptize in Jesus' name. Because here we have in this section of scripture where believers that already were baptized before. So if you've already been baptized in any title or mode, it is okay to be baptized again because you are saying, I am doing in obedience to what now I understand. Look at Acts 19, 1-5. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers. So again, these are believers. These are people who've been obedient to what they have known at this point. And Paul asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them. They replied, no, we haven't even heard if there is a Holy Ghost. Then he said, what baptism did you experience? They said, John's baptism. And he said, well, John really baptized unto repentance. Excuse me. And John himself told the people to believe in the one who will come later, speaking of Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, which means it was fine at that point with whatever revelation they had and understanding of what they've been taught. Comparatively to where you are right now, maybe you've been baptized in the titles. Guess what? You have been obedient to what you have been taught. But now you are hearing scripturally that when you come to the revelation of the saving name of Jesus Christ and lining up yourself with the way they did it in the Bible, then you can see here clearly, just like in verse 5, they were rebaptized. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as I conclude today's lesson, we're going to go into the Holy Ghost lesson next week, in 2 weeks, I mean. But just consider again, if there's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, then isn't it important that I'm baptized the way they did in the New Testament? I admonish you, search the scriptures, see the power of the name of Jesus Christ, and having it imputed upon you will change your life forevermore. Thank you for your time listening. This is Pastor Barlow. God bless you.